Paul was not simply interested in the big crowds. And the reason is, he was not seeking glory. He really wanted to meet needs.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I want to begin by saying that Christian ministry is the selfless and the sacrificial investment of our lives in cooperating with God as He seeks to achieve His goals in the lives of other people. That's what Christian ministry is all about. And we have a beautiful portrayal of that right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Seven marks of Christian ministry. And I would suggest that we ought to be committed. Every one of us ought to be committed to developing those marks of Christian ministry in our lives. Now, what are those marks? You remember we said, number one, we are to serve God courageously. That's verses 1 and 2. Number two, we're to serve God sincerely, verses 3 and 4. And then thirdly, we must serve God transparently, and that's verse 5. And then we must serve God humbly. We don't seek glory, verse 6. And then we must serve God gently. We were gentle among you, verse 7. And then we must serve God sacrificially. We were willing to have laid down our very lives for you and to have labored and travailed for your well-being, verses 8 and 9. And then we must serve God exemplarily. Those are the seven marks of true Christian ministry, and every one of us should be burdened to integrate or build into our lives these marks of ministry. You know, the complexity of Paul is an amazing thing to me. You see the gentleness of the Apostle Paul, and there are occasions when you see the terror of the Apostle Paul. As he stood before kings and courts, he was the biting wind of November and the raging storm of December. But as he knelt before those babes in Christ in Thessalonica, he was the soft shower of April and the gentle breeze of May. Precious servant of the Lord, Paul. Wonder how many of us are gentle. Such an abrasiveness among God's people. You know, there's so much of Christianity that's good but's unkind. Do you know you can be good but be unkind? Paul knew what it was not to be abrasive, what it was not to be harsh. He knew what it was to be gentle. And then he says we ministered in these ways, and also, number six, we ministered sacrificially. Notice verses 8 and 9, Paul exhibits sacrificial willingness in verse 8. We were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel only, but also our own souls. And then he exhibits sacrificial work in verse 9. Sacrificial willingness in verse 8, sacrificial work in verse 9. You notice Paul's motivation in verse 8? His motivation was Christian love. He says, we were affectionately desirous of you in the first part of the verse, and he says, you were dear unto us in the last part of the verse. You know what he's talking about? Christian love. That word affectionately desirous is used only once in the New Testament and rarely in ancient literature. You can hardly find it in ancient literature. And what it is, it's a term of endearment from the nursery. We really loved you, Paul says. And you were dear unto us. And that's an adjectival form of agape. You were dear unto us. We really loved you. We were willing to invest in you selflessly and sacrificially for your well-being. That's what agape is. Selfless, sacrificial investment in the well-being of other people. That's the spirit we had toward you. The motivation was Christian love. The manifestation, do you notice what he says there in verse 8, talking about sacrificial willingness? The manifestation, we were willing to have imparted something unto you. There were those who accused Paul of coming to Thessalonica to get. Paul says, we didn't come to Thessalonica to get. We came to give. That's always the mark of a true servant. He doesn't come to get. He comes to give. Paul says, we wanted to impart. We wanted to give to you. We didn't want to get. We wanted to give to you. And he says, we were anxious to do this. We were willing. And the word willing there means it would have pleased us greatly. It would have given us great pleasure to give to you. The great joy of the servant of the Lord is to be able to give to other people. I wonder if these are the kinds of ingredients we're integrating into our lives. This is what it means to be a Christian. Tremendous thing to be a Christian. I think some of us became Christians, never realized what a wonderful way of life we had. The powerful ethic of the Christian experience. We were willing to have imparted to you two things, Paul says, and both of them would have cost us. One, we were willing to give to you light, the gospel of God. But not only light, our very life. We would have imparted to you our own souls also, if that's what it took. We were willing to have laid down our lives for you. Now, it was difficult enough just to give the gospel, because I'll tell you why. Suffering seems always to be attached to loyalty to the gospel. There's just something about the gospel message which strikes right at the heart of man's prideful mentality. It shatters his ego, and he doesn't want that ego shattered. And any man who's loyal to the gospel is going to experience the hostility of those who hate the gospel. It costs just to preach the gospel. Paul says, we were willing to have imparted unto you the gospel. But not only the gospel. We'd go even further than that. We were willing not only to have given to you light, we would have given to you our lives, imparted our own souls to you. I wonder when the last time was that involvement in the ministry for us required of us great personal sacrifice. It's a hard thing in the modern world to get Christians to want to sacrifice. Pay a price. Dedication, very precious commodity, and sometimes almost conspicuous by its absence among God's people. Paul says, finally, we ministered exemplarily. Not only sacrificially, there's much more to be said there sacrificially. Verse 9 is sacrificial work, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But then he says, we ministered exemplarily. And he says, I was an example in three ways. One, I was an example in my walk, verse 10. Ye are witnesses in God also. He's always calling this double confirmation. It's amazing. I wonder how many of us would feel that liberty. God, you come and be a witness, and Christians, you come and be a witness, and let the world know about my life. Oh, he had a depth of relationship with the Lord. He says, in my walk, I behaved in a certain way. He says, we walked or we behaved holily. Means he was pure from evil. Means he had a reverence for the sacred things. It means he had true biblical piety. He wasn't afraid to be called pious in the biblical sense of that term. That's what the word means. Holily. Hasios. And justly means living in accordance with what is right. Justly. Living in accordance with what is right. Having respect for men and reverence for God. And then unblameably means without spot as a sacrifice. It's always a sacrificial term. And it means a spotless sacrifice. In my walk, I was an example. I wonder how many of us are an example in our behavior. Then he says, in my words, I was an example to you. He says, I gave to you three kinds of counsel. Verse 11, I gave you personal counsel. It was to every one of you. Do you notice? I gave you personal counsel, every one of you, literally each one of you separately. In other words, Paul was not simply interested in the big crowds. And the reason is he was not seeking glory. He really wanted to meet needs. He was not simply interested in the big crowds. He imputed value to and he had personal concern for individuals. I want you to know that God has that same kind of concern for you. God loves every one of you as if there were only one of you to love. God has a personal, individual interest in your life. He gave a personal counsel. Then he gave a paternal counsel. He says, do you notice? Every one of you we counseled as a father, paternal, as a father doth his children. In other words, Paul not only touched the lives of the Thessalonians personally, but affectionately. He was not only like a mother and a nurse cherishing her own children like a mother, he was like a father. And then he gave them practical counsel. Do you notice he says there that I exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you? That means three things to me. It means that Paul brought courage. That's what the word exhorted means. The parakletos brings courage, used of a cheerleader in the ancient world, who is used to inspire the soldiers before they went into battle. He brought courage. He exhorted. He brought courage and he brought consolation. He comforted. There's a blend. He brought courage, he brought consolation, and he brought challenge. He charged. He inspired them, he invigorated them, and he instructed them. He excited them, he revived them, and he informed them. That's what those words mean. There's a beautiful blend in the ministry of a father. And Paul had that blend. And then finally he says, I was exemplary not only in my walk and in my words, but also in my wishes. Do you notice verse 12? In my wishes. What was Paul's wish? What was his will for those Christians? His will was that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That is the great goal of Christian ministry. The great goal of Christian ministry is that spiritual children will walk worthy of God. The great goal of the ministry behind this pulpit and in our radio outreach is that God's people will walk worthy of God. You see, every father wants to see his children walk. And Paul wanted to see his spiritual children walk worthy. Axios. What it means is balance. The word means a balance. In other words, Paul says, you have a powerful position. I want your practice to balance with your position progressively. Christians are a people who know and belong to God. Their lifestyle should reflect that. Christians are constituents of God's kingdom, and they're going to share in God's glory. That's what he says. We're called unto his kingdom and glory. Christians are constituents of God's kingdom, and they're going to share in God's glory. Paul says, now, I don't want you to do anything in your behavior that betrays the ethics of that kingdom or that will diminish the radiance of that glory. That's my wish. That's my exemplary wish, that you might walk worthy of God, that your practice might somehow come up in balance progressively as you grow and mature in Christ with your position in the Lord. So Paul says, here we have the marks of a Christian ministry. We're called to serve God, like Paul served him. How did Paul serve him? What are the marks of a Christian ministry? We're called to serve God courageously, verses 1 and 2. That means no cowardice. God hath not given us the spirit of cowardice. We're called to serve God sincerely. You know what that means? No wax, no artificiality, verses 3 and 4. We're called to serve God transparently. You know what that means? No cover-ups. We're called to serve God humbly. You know what that means? No pride. No ugly pride. No arrogance. We're called to serve God gently. You know what that means? No abrasiveness. No harshness. No unkindness. We're called to serve God sacrificially. That means no selfishness. And we're called to serve God exemplarily. And that means no hypocrisy. So the question is this. Are these the kind of virtues that we are seeking to build into our lives? Are these the kind of virtues, for you and me as Christians, are these the kind of virtues that we are seeking to build into our lives? Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no possibility they'll ever exist within us. And without them, there will be little or no meaning to our lives. We need Christ. First, we need him. And then he'll give to us the power to develop these virtues. And even with Jesus Christ, it doesn't come easily. Even with Jesus Christ, there is still the necessity of a daily commitment. Every day I renounce self-sovereignty, and I take up my cross, and I follow Jesus. Jesus said, do it daily. There is still the necessity of daily commitment to his ways and deep dependence upon the enabling power of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the inspired Word of God. I'm deeply dependent upon the Spirit and the Word. And he enables me to integrate into my life the marks of Christian ministry.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The freedom God gives his people is never the freedom to do what they want, but the power to do what they ought. You have a moral obligation.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.